This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
They are who we thought they were.
We are two wild and crazy guys.
And then we're going to find our best friend Doug. And then we're going to give him our best friend hug.
Hey, Dean Tony, you all right, mate?
That just happened.
What would you say you do here?
We're going streaking through the quad and into the gymnasium. Come on, everybody!
It's the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Doug and Daddy Show. Jam-packed Tuesday for you here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda along with Big Daddy Tony Davis, our producer Derek Stinson, and guest lineup today, Bob Davis, Royals radio announcer. Not just to talk about what's going on with the Royals on the field, who had a decent weekend at Tampa Bay, got beat up last night pretty good, 5-1. But they just couldn't hit Jake Peavy. We'll talk about that, but we also want to talk about Alex Gordon and what the Royals, I want to know what he's got to say about it, and I hope it's not the company line, because I really want to get some insight here. Alex Gordon has been, you call it what you want, demoted to Omaha. When they say optioned, that means you've been demoted. He's been sent from Kansas City to Omaha, and now he's going to play left field. They say on occasion, if they need, you may play him at third or first. But it sounds like the only way he's going to make it back to the big leagues is as a left fielder. And remember, Billy Butler was in the outfield for a while before they dragged him to first base. Let's face it, the Royals aren't good. And if you have to be moving positions just to make the Royals, there's probably not a spot somewhere else for you either. So it's got to be tough for Alex Gordon And so we'll talk about that. Also, Steve Sipple from the Lincoln Journal-Star is going to join us. He had a sit-down with Athletic Director Tom Osborne and kind of had the first breaking story yesterday that Mike Anderson is going to be back next year. Also talk about expansion. Will Nebraska be looking at getting out of the Big 12? There's two or three other things we'll talk with Sip about. And also we'll catch up with Whitey Richardson, co-owner of Mission Impossible, just back from the Kentucky Derby, finished ninth. When will the horse run again? It looks like it will run in at least one more of the Triple Crown races. First time he's had a chance to be a part of the Derby experience, the former major leaguer. So a little baseball connection in all three guests today, but we'll also be talking a lot of other sports. Troutman's Tuesday trivia and an ex-Husker arrested overnight. And we'll get to that in a little bit as well. So a lot going on. High school scene has started the spring postseason with the district soccer. Just a lot to talk about here in just the next hour.
Yeah, Doug, but we're going live to Chicago right now. Bob Davis from the Royals Network joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Bob, good morning, and thanks, as always, for giving us a little time here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Okay, good to talk to you. We're sitting here waiting for another ball game. It's kind of cloudy in Chicago, but I think we're going to be okay.
Hey, Bob, I got to ask you this question before Big Daddy does. Where are you going to lunch today?
Well, I hadn't gotten that far yet. I went to my Ditka's restaurant yesterday, which is one of our favorite little stops here in the area, so we'll have to plan that. I guess I got to get on that in the next half hour, don't I?
great nachos at Mike.
Oh, the nachos are just wonderful. Roast beef nachos.
Yes.
I should say pot roast, and that's one of the specialties. Now he owes us, doesn't he?
I'm sure he's listening. Bob Davis from the Royals Radio Network joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show, and we've got two or three different topics, obviously, we want to touch on with Bob. But before we get to the Royals and this long 11-game road trip, obviously the story here in the state is Alex Gordon being sent down to Omaha, and then the revelation yesterday that he is going to be sent to the outfield and try and transform him into an outfielder. And Bob, for Nebraska fans, they hate to talk about anything negative with Alex Gordon because he's such a great person and all that he did for the program. But unfortunately, it just doesn't look like Alex is going to work out in Kansas City.
Well, we'll see how this goes. I think Alex is, from what I understand, pretty upbeat about it and the opportunity to play in the outfield. He has struggled a little bit at third base, and maybe, hopefully he can go to They play in the outfield. Maybe they're going to play him some at first, I think, as well, but primarily left field. And if he feels comfortable there, and certainly he's a good enough athlete to play there, maybe it'll free his mind a little bit, and the ability he has as a hitter will come out. I think it's you're a long way from giving up on Alex. He just got too many things going for him, but he needs a little luck. He's had these, you know, the hip surgery last year and some other nagging injuries again this time around with the broken thumb that he had in spring training. He needs a little good fortune, and hopefully that'll happen, and he can, you know, relax playing back close to home, and the base hits will start falling in, and then we'll start talking about getting him back up here in Kansas City.
Bob, looking at everything, looking, I guess, in hindsight, the whole Gordon situation, do they wish they wouldn't have rushed him like they did?
Well, I suppose you could. That's a fair question, but, you know, Alex had been a three-year college player. They start him at a pretty high level in Double A, and he had a sensational season. He's the minor league player of the year, and I think they went into spring training that next year with an open mind and felt like he earned the shot. And you look at some of the other top draft picks around baseball, some of them have gotten to the major leagues relatively quickly. Evan Longoria would be another example of that, and a guy that's achieved early stardom. So it's such a, you know, a subjective thing. Sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't, sometimes it takes a little longer. But I still think the injuries have played a big role hindering Alex's progress. And I just hope he has an opportunity here to show what he can do, because everybody likes him. You can't help but like him. He's one of the really good guys going. And, you know, he needs the Royals. The Royals need him, I think. He needs to you know, get something going, and I think he's still capable of that. He had that game-winning home run in Toronto on the first road trip of the year, and I thought, well, maybe that'll get him started a little bit. But then it didn't quite. He had the strikeouts, as I mentioned, some struggles at third base. So maybe this will free his mind, and he can really play down there.
Yeah, that's kind of one of the things. Everybody looks at his batting average, but actually for the first time he struggled in the field since coming back off this injury. Mm-hmm. He's always done well in Omaha. Last year when he was rehabbing off the hip, hit .338, three home runs, 11 ribbies in 19 games. So we'll see how this all works out. They bring Mike Aviles up. Alberto Chiaspo is going to go back over to third. Let's kind of transition into the big club. Kind of a decent weekend in Tampa Bay if you're going to start an 11-game road trip against the best team in the majors. The Royals, even though it was a split and Greinke pitched outstanding on Sunday, I think there's some positives going into this 11-game road trip.
Well, you know, that get thumped in that first game down there, and you saw how good Tampa Bay is. But to come back and win the extra inning game and then the Saturday game, and certainly they were disappointed they didn't win on Sunday with a great performance from Zach. But Wade Davis pitched awfully well for the Rays, certainly. So they did get out of there with a split. Now, losing here last night, you'd like to get back on that win column. Chicago's got some problems as well. They're not, at this point at least, world beaters. So they saw Jake Peavy pitch very, very well last night, so hopefully Hochaver can pitch well and give the Royals a chance tonight, because it'd be great to get this series evened up.
Bob, I think this is a fair question to ask. Is Dayton Moore under any pressure at all? He's been there a while. They freed up some money for him to spend, and the results just haven't been there yet.
Well, it takes a little while. There are some definite prospects in the minor leagues, and he did get a contract extension, so you know, I think that was a terrific vote of confidence, and he's under contract for the next few years. If you look, you know, there's some prospects certainly at Omaha. There are some terrific prospects at AA, Northwest Arkansas, plus Wilmington. They've got some players coming, some really terrific appearing pitchers, some good offensive players, some speed, the things you're looking for. So we'll see if it bears the fruit that it looks like it will, but it takes a while to plant the seeds and get the plants going, but they're there. You can see them now in the minor leagues, and they're starting to get some depth in the organization with genuine pitching prospects, focus on speed and defense, but there's also a couple of power bats that are coming as well. So I think there's some things to look at with optimism in the minor leagues, but they're not quite ready yet. And you talked about rushing Alex. I really don't believe they rushed him if you look at the whole picture, but they're cautious with some of these other guys. You don't want to. You got to prove you can play at one level before you move to the next. And the players tell you when they're ready to move on. And And they've got some guys that are doing that right now.
Bob Davis of the Royals Radio Network joins us for just another couple moments. We want to ask him about Kansas football as well, but a strange situation last night. I want to get your take on this, Bob, because ironically, the Royals are in Chicago, where one of the strangest fan incidents with a Major League Baseball team occurred a handful of years ago when two Chicago morons, father and son, jumped out and attacked the Royals' first base coach. You got this kid that ran on the field last night in Philadelphia, and by now I think everybody knows about it, and they didn't catch him right away, so they tased the guy. Bob, are we getting into a... they asked one of the players today, Teixeira from the Yankees was on Mike and Mike. He says he's always felt safe on the field. Do players ever bring? They ever talk about that? Heck, there was a guy in Detroit that jumped in the dugout of the Royals this year.
Yeah, I haven't heard much, really, any talk from the players about it. I think in most cases the players feel safe. I was here certainly in Chicago for the incident you referred to, and that was scary. And then a couple of years after that, we had another incident here in Chicago where a fan jumped out and attacked an umpire. The ballpark here on the south side is pretty accessible to the field. It's a kind of a low railing, and it's pretty easy to get out there. But they've beefed up security a great deal since that time, and I still think these are isolated incidents. Oftentimes, you know, in a funny sort of way, it becomes kind of a comic affair. But there's certainly a serious side to it, and you know, you wouldn't want to take anything like that lightly. That was kind of an amazing situation in Philadelphia. It'll kind of be interesting to see what transpires from that, but I don't think the players feel unsafe, and certainly I hope not, because, you know, it's about the game, and it's still a game and a sport, and hopefully we don't have any more of those, or have a number of those incidents. I hope they're still isolated.
Bob, I want to ask you about Greinke and his demeanor as of late, not getting wins and pitching awfully well. What's he been like away from, when you see him in the clubhouse and away from everybody?
You know, I don't see much difference. He's pretty much the same guy, win or lose. He just tries to do his job, and he's a team guy. He's really grown in the last year or two. He overcame, as you all know, some personal problems, and he just emerged as one of the best pitchers in baseball. And he's comfortable on this team. He fits in. Zach is Zach. He's his own person and his own personality, but I don't see any real change. And losing 1-0, he'll go out in 5 days and try to, you know, shut the opponent out if he has to get a win. But knowing Zach, he probably wished he could bat in that game so he could have helped his offense.
Bob Davis with us for just the last question here from the Royals Radio Network. Of course, covers Kansas Jayhawks as well. And we had Turner Gill on the show Friday, Bob, and he seemed fairly optimistic, although he knows there's some spots that they really got to work on. Spring ball just wrapped up for the Jayhawks. Did you get a chance to, I guess, watch or find out much about how Turner's doing so far?
I really didn't. I was on the road trip for most of that and didn't get to see the spring game because of a baseball conflict, but all my guys that I work with were there, and I think it's a very interesting transition. Boy, I tell you, talk about an impressive guy, and you all know Turner Gill. I think Don Fambro, the one-time KU coach who's still around the program, said it best. He said, if Turner Gill's half the coach he was as a player, he's going to be terrific, and he's done everything, you know, beautifully in public. He's made appearances. He's formed such a solid image. The values that he has in life and his family, and I think people, you've probably talked to people in Buffalo and found out what they think of him, what he did there under very tough circumstances. So I know he's glad to be back in this part of the country, and you know, in the Big 12 area, and having gone to Nebraska and grown up in Texas, and he seems to have put together a terrific staff. You know, his two coordinators are former head coaches. He's got some great recruiters on the staff. And Kansas has, you know, got pretty quality facilities now. That's been improved greatly in recent years. So it's going to be fun to watch the Turner-Gill era. And we'll be coming to Lincoln before you know it.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Bob, we appreciate the time today on the Doug and Daddy Show. I'm going to give you one restaurant for tonight, Joe's Stone Crab.
Been there.
Lovely.
Pretty good, usually pretty big line.
Hey, Bob, always a pleasure catching up
okay,
with you.
Guys.
We'll be listening tonight.
All right, thanks.
Bob Davis joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Pre-game tonight, 6:35. First pitch is at 7:10 as the Royals continue their road trip with Chicago White Sox. They had four in Tampa. This is the middle game of a three-game set with Chicago. Then they head to Texas for four before they finally come home and maybe get to settle in for a little bit. They have not had a long homestand. They've had a couple of six-game homestands, and everything else has been on the road. That brings us to today's Bull or No Bull question, brought to you by Ace Hardware and Garden Center in Kearney and Grand Island. Will Alex Gordon ever make a significant contribution to the Royals again in Kansas City?
Wow.
Here it is. Alex Gordon will make a significant contribution to the Kansas City Royals. Bull or no bull?
I would have to say bull right now. And if Bob Davis, hopefully Bob Davis is correct.
Well, he's not going to throw him under the bus. That's the whole point here. I mean, if we had a beat writer from the Royals or something like that we talked to in the near future, that's a different thing. But, you know, he's going to be the company man, which is right. And we don't want to throw Gordon under the bus. That's the hard thing. If this was any other schmuck, he would have been under the bus by now. But Gordon is such a good guy, good player. He's been battling through injuries. But still, he just has never got it to click. And you hope it will.
Hopefully the injuries will go away. He can play healthy and see what he can do healthy. You don't want to have that in the back of your mind. Boy, I wonder what would have happened had I been healthy.
Well, here's
that's a bad way to go out of baseball thinking, well, I wonder what would have been.
Here's what you hope to. Here's what I kind of envision. The maybe the best scenario here. The Royals, who are 10-14, somehow find a way to hang around .500. Over the next month and a half, getting towards the All-Star break. By that time, Gordon is back in Kansas City, and he gets a little groove. And he may not hit .350, but at least he hits over .250, which I think right now is all that Kansas City could ask out of the guy, considering what his career batting average is. And it works out, and maybe the Royals do something in the second half of the season. I'm not saying win the pennant or win the division, but at least continue to build on this, you know, team that was just about the worst in baseball for a number of years. So there you go. Send us your emails, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and, spell out the word and if you're a Pirate fan, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. Whether you think Alex Gordon will ever make another significant contribution to the Kansas City Royals, Bull or No Bull, brought to you by our friends at Ace Hardware and Garden Center. At Ace, all power equipment fully assembled, serviced, and ready to go. They back it with service after the sale, offering free in-town delivery at Ace.
Doug, do you find it a little bit interesting? They sent him out to play outfield, where the Royals really are stocked at outfield. Pocednik, Ankiel, Meyer, you know, is the one man that comes in and has played a lot with people. DeJesus, Guillen's an outfielder. They've got a whole bunch of outfielders. Again, DH is a lot, but he's an outfielder. That's his position. I would think that a natural position for Alex Gordon may end up being first base.
Well, it's not going to be first base because you have Billy Butler there.
Well,
be first base.
If Billy Butler goes to the DH position, it could be first base.
Well, he would play, yeah, but what's that, once a week? You know, you're going to give him an off day, maybe twice a week, off day and then a DH day in five games if it's a seven-game week. That or a doubleheader situation that would happen. But, you know, Gordon's not going to end up at first base while playing with Kansas City more than, you know, a handful of games a year. Strange when you look at the roster and go, man, Alex Gordon can't even crack the top nine. Strange.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break. Coming up, Steve Sippel from the Lincoln Journal-Star towards the end of the program. And up next, oh, he was there. And he's probably still a little sad. But, hey, what do you expect? You don't know. There's 20 horses. You got a 1 in 20 chance, maybe a little bit better than that when your odds are better than a handful of the horses. Whitey Richardson, Grand Island Zone, co-owner of Mission Impossible, going to join us in just a couple of moments. We'll take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Recently, Burger King created the new BK Breakfast Muffin Sandwich. And with fluffy eggs, savory sausage, and melted cheese on a toasted English muffin, we apologize for shamelessly copying the Sausage McMuffin with Egg from McDonald's and charging a dollar for it. So sorry, America, for making it more affordable to enjoy a tasty breakfast. Sorry if you think $1 is just a ridiculously low price. And we're sorry if you don't stop by for the new BK Breakfast Muffin Sandwich. Only a dollar. Only at Burger King. Price and participation may vary. Breakfast hours only.
Superstar Sizzle. After releasing the new Steakhouse XT burger with 30% more beef than the McDonald's Angus Third Pounders, BK fans think the king is crazy. Kind of.
I guess 30% more flame-broiled beef is kind of crazy.
Yeah, crazy awesome.
So as this extra-thick story continues to unfold, we'll keep you updated here on Superstar Sizzle.
New Steakhouse XT burger starting at only $3.99. With 30% more beef than the McDonald's Angus Third Pounders and only at Burger King. Based on pre-cooked patty weight. Limited time only. Price and participation may vary.
Feeling lucky? At Plum Creek Motors, good luck is on the house because everyone's a winner. Go to PlumCreekDeals.com and find your opportunity to win a new Chevy of A05. No tricks, no gimmicks. Some lucky person can win a new Chevy of A05 this month. Bring your spin and win number to Plum Creek Motors. If it matches, you win. And everyone's a winner just for completing the online instructions. You'll get $100 worth of free e-outlet stores gift cards. Good toward brand name electronics, cookware, and more. Plus, get an additional $1,000 savings voucher towards your next purchase. Keep all the approved rebates and incentives. Go to PlumCreekDeals.com and spin to win a new Chevy of A05. And remember, everyone wins $100 worth of free e-outlet stores gift cards, along with an additional $1,000 savings voucher, good towards your next new or pre-owned purchase. At PlumCreekDeals.com, one spin and you win.
Savings off MSRP. See dealer for complete details.
I'm Doug Duda with the Sports Minute on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. It's conference tournament time for UNK and Hastings College. UNK will host the RMAC baseball tournament beginning Wednesday when Mesa State plays Metro at 11. New Mexico Highlands takes on Regis at 3, and UNK will take on Colorado State Pueblo at 7. The softball tournament will be hosted by Metro State. UNK will take on the top seeds Thursday at 1:30. Hastings College baseball team heads to Mitchell, South Dakota for the GPAC tournament, which gets underway Thursday at 9 a.m. The 7th seed Broncos will take on the 2nd seed Sioux Falls. In softball, Hastings College will host the GPAC at the Smith Softball Complex beginning Thursday. All games are at 4 o'clock. Morningside plays Concordia, Midland Lutheran against Dort, Hastings plays Doane, and Nebraska Wesleyan takes on Dana. For the Huskers, the baseball team will host Southeast Missouri State Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and the Husker softball team will wrap up the regular season hosting Missouri Saturday and Sunday. And that's a Sports Minute on ESPN.
Sunshine develops across the area today with an isolated chance for a shower storm late today in the afternoon with high temperatures of near 79. Winds out of the west-southwest state from 10 to 20 miles per hour. Back to a low of 40 tonight. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now, 66.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Cincinnati Bengals wide receiver Maurice Purifoy arrested on a misdemeanor charge of disorderly conduct overnight after an incident at Jefferson Hall. The 24-year-old Purifoy was booked into the Campbell County Jail at 2:16 in the morning. No, not named after Luther Campbell. Booked into the Campbell County Jail at 2:16 in the morning, released on an $80 bond. Court date not available. According to a Newport police report, officers broke up a fight at the bar at 1 Levy Way about 1:55 in the morning. Officers made several subjects leave, and one officer watched the backs exit and saw Purifoy fighting with another person. The ex-Husker caught 4 balls in preseason, then made 5 special teams tackles during the regular year after starting the season on the Bengals practice squad, joining them in 2008 on the squad, practice squad for most of the last 2 seasons. So there you go. Cincinnati Bengal wide receiver Mo Purifoy. Not the first time this has happened, but first incident, I think, since he's left Nebraska. And again, this could have been a minor scuffle out, but, you know, you're out back of a bar, and they say you're fighting at 2 in the morning. Well, are you fighting or are you shoving each other against the wall? You know, get out of my face. You know, we don't know any more details than that. But that coming your way this morning out of Cincinnati, Cincinnati.com. There you go, bud.
Well, Doug, the action of the weekend is certainly the best 2 minutes, the greatest 2 minutes of sports.
Again, that's what you say.
That's what I say.
Even in the mud?
Even in the mud.
Even in the mud. Hey, all of our great guests on the Doug and Daddy Show treated to lunch or breakfast. It's up to them, whatever they want. Dinner at Burger King, home of the Buck Double, flame-broiled quarter-pound double cheeseburger for just a buck. Or if you'd like a little breakfast, try their new breakfast bowl, scrambled eggs, sausage, cheese, roasted potatoes, onions, and peppers. 2 locations in Kearney, also Lexington, Cozad, and North Platte. But you mentioned the fastest 2 minutes in sports. That was a little over 2 minutes, wasn't it?
204, I believe. 204, and somebody was right there for the action. Co-owner of Mission Impossible, Whitey Richardson. And Whitey, how do you feel about going to Burger King for lunch after this weekend?
I like Burger King, matter of fact. I don't have any problems with that.
I'll tell you what, Mission Impossible is not going to end up anywhere outside of on the racetrack the next time around. Whitey, we're just pleased to chat with you again. Your initial thoughts now that you've had about 3 days for it to kind of set in. Did he get the trip he wanted? Where was the problem? Where was the good? I mean, 20 horses, maybe he had the trip he wanted and just didn't have a chance to get through. Give us what the jockey said, what the trainer said.
He basically, Fletcher said he just had a basic Derby trip, which is a bad trip. He got out the way we thought he would. We thought he had a lot more speed than they were giving him credit to have. And we didn't really care if he went to the front or anything like that, but we knew he had enough tactical speed that he'd be able to get out of the gate and get himself in the spot he wanted. Coming from the 14 hole was actually a great spot because he had nobody pinching down on him. He was all by himself. He hit probably, a couple hundred yards before the first turn. He was sitting about third, and it looked like to us that Rahib tried to kind of settle him in and get him into rhythm, maybe a little bit too early, and then he got pinched, which kind of kicked him back to about fifth or sixth. I wish he would have just rode him out through the turn and positioned himself and then tried to relax and get him in rhythm on the backside, but that was the first time he got pinched, and then he kind of got going again, and then he got on the backside, and really, watching through binoculars, he was sitting pretty nice on the backside. He was looked like he was in rhythm, running nice. Jockey way, he wasn't fighting the jockey. Super Saber was on the rail. He was sitting right outside of him, and I even made the comment that there they go, because it looked like to me they both started moving. The problem is Burrell had Super Saber on the rail. We ran up behind two horses. Rahib waited, let Super Saber go, then he tried jumping right behind him and following him. The problem is right when he got there, it was before they hit the turn, and two horses just collapsed down on him, and he actually hit the rail pretty hard, and when he hit the rail is when he really backed up. It almost looked like something was wrong with him for a second. And then he kind of regrouped and got going again. He ended up running ninth, but by that time he didn't have any momentum, couldn't really get going again, and didn't have much down the stretch. But no, honestly, it's just frustrating. I woke up this morning about 4:30 at the website. I still can't sleep very good. I said, it's just so hard to get there. And he got there, and there was these Jerry Bay. There was a lot of people that were actually picking him to win, and that kind of even was adding to it. You know, you started thinking, like, you know, he's got a chance. If we can just get a good trip, just a clean trip, he's got a chance. And he obviously didn't, and things didn't work out. But anybody who knows horse racing, that's just horse racing. There's just, I mean, things don't always go the way you want them to go.
That's so true. If you had a horse like Homeboy Chris or Backtalk that never had a chance in there, you know, you wouldn't have, you know, thought anything about it. But you got one with a chance. So why do you take us back? What happens? Where do you go in the morning? Take us a timeline of where the owners go and what the process is throughout the day.
Well, on Derby Day, the races start at 10:30. We got up and basically went to breakfast and spent about an hour trying to figure out what shoes were going with the right dresses and getting our hair straight and trying to catch a dang 10:30 bus. And finally I told them about 10:25 because I could see that we had trouble, that we weren't going to make this 10:30 bus. So I said, the bus is here, and he said he's leaving in 5 minutes, and that really got everybody kind of kicking it into high gear. But then we finally got there probably on 11:15. The traffic is horrible. Got in there, got in our seats, got settled in, and just kind of waited. Made a few bets, but realistically we ate lunch and just kind of I was watching the girls chasing the stars. I mean, there's celebrity after celebrity up there on the fourth floor with the, in the suites. And, I mean, Megan kind of got, she was probably the biggest celebrity chaser. I mean, if it was Rascal Flatts or Brooks, and that didn't matter who was coming through, when she noticed they had bodyguards, she figured out that they gotta be somebody. You know, we didn't go in with bodyguards. And then they were really nice because there wasn't very many kids up there, and she'd kind of wait until she got her shot and go in and talk to them. And I know probably about the sixth race, I was actually going to make a bet. I only bet probably two or three races that day. It was just seemed so busy of talking to people, and, you know, everybody's so fired up about our race. And I was going to make a bet, and I saw her standing outside the bathroom, and I go, Meg, I go, what are you, what are you doing or who are you chasing now? And she goes, Cal Ripken Jr. is in the bathroom. I'm waiting for him to come out. And I go, oh, wow. I go, I like Cal. I've met him before. So I walked in the bathroom. And the bathroom's usually a lot of people in there. There wasn't anybody in there. So I talked to him for a while and introduced myself. He remembered me from the Red Sox when I played, and probably because we played basically the same position. But he came, and I said, hey, I go, the only reason I came in here is because my daughter's sitting out there waiting for you, and she knew you were in here, and he just started laughing. So we walked out, and he walked right up to her, and he goes, hi. He goes, I'm Cal Ripken Jr., and shook her hand. She goes, I'm Megan Richardson. And he said, you having a good time? And she goes, yeah, I'm having a blast. And just kind of just had conversation with her, you know, what she does, what grade she in. And then Caitlin showed up, and he started talking to her, do the same thing, and they got their picture with him, and they took off. And then my buddy Steve came, and I introduced Cal to him. And then Steve and I've got a mutual friend, David Segee, who used to play first base for the Orioles when Cal played, and David's also from Louisiana Tech. So we kind of, he was filming us in on David Segee, and he goes to his golf tournament every year. So we had good conversation with him, and that was really the only star that I talked to that I really wanted to. Everybody else, like Terrell Owens, she chased Terrell for about an hour, and she finally just gave up on him. She wanted to get a picture with him, so she thought she would get on his show, I think. But he was doing a reality show, so. But it was a lot of fun. There was just so many people up there, and they were just amazed. It was funner for me just watching my family, the enjoyment they were getting out of it, and all my friends, and you know, just the overall atmosphere, and there's nothing like Derby Day, you know. And I think my kids went to the Derby with the idea that it's the Derby, it's going to be fun, and then they got there and they figured out that this is a big deal. This is the Super Bowl. This is Game 7 of the World Series. This is as big as it gets. And they had a great time, and that made it so much better. And they probably thanked me 5 times that last day just for taking them. But that was really they made the trip to me.
Whitey Richardson of Grand Island, the co-owner of Mission Impossible, joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. He's kind of a big deal himself, you know. Nobody was stalking you?
No, nobody was. I was sending texts back to people throughout the day. I had a group on my that I was texting. They were saying the same thing, like, well, you tell them you're a celebrity. And they weren't buying that. They probably hadn't looked at the back of my baseball card and saw Lifetime 183, and it didn't really draw a lot of attention.
Hey, Whitey, did the weather make any – how much did the weather play an impact on your horse Saturday?
You know something? We got a word from Pletcher about, maybe the third or fourth race, and he said, let it rain. Let it hope it rains another 2 inches. He goes, the wetter the track, he goes, he thought the more advantage for Super Saver and for Mission Impossible. He thought they would both run really, really well in the mud. Partly Mission Impossible because he had a workout in really bad conditions there, and just seemed like he got a hold of it really well. And I don't think the mud was a factor for him. I think he got a hold of the track and all that. I just think it was his overall trip. It was just a bad trip. But I don't think the mud was really that much of a factor for him.
Why do they get chills when they come out of the tunnel at Memorial Stadium in Lincoln? What were the chills like on you when they sang that My Old Kentucky Home?
My Old Kentucky Home was probably the highlight. And what we did is we didn't go over to the barn after the 10th race to walk him over because there was about 4 or 5 inches of mud you had to walk through on that track to bring him over. So Randy, who runs Twin Creek Farms, actually him and I think Tom Clark, who used to own Hysterical Lady, ran second in the Breeders' Cup. He's part owner also. I think they brought him over, maybe with Kim also, and then we waited in the paddock. And really the longest time we had was when we got to the paddock, there's a 90-minute gap between the 10th and the 11th race. That seemed to be the longest because I'm saying I kept looking at that clock. I'm like, wow. And I remember that. I go, does that clock work? And it just seemed like that hour and a half seemed like it was 24 hours. That was probably the longest. And what we did is we waited there until Mission came over, and then when Mission got there, got him saddled up and stuff, we actually took off and went back up to the suites, and because we wanted to be upstairs so we could have a good view of the race, and we could hear My Old Kentucky Home when they brought the horses out. And my youngest had the lyrics where we ran them off, so she kind of was all ready for it. She was probably the best of the bunch at singing it and knowing the words. But that was probably for me. There was a couple times where I just felt like I could just cry because it was just such a great feeling. But when the race actually took off, I was as calm as can be, because I just kind of felt like, kind of like you put your team on the field. It's like, you know, we're prepared, we're ready to go. You know, there's nothing more you can do. And I kind of felt like that with him. I thought he was ready to run. You know, we thought he was going to peak at the right time. We were just, you know, my basic thing was just hoping for a good trip, and didn't get it. But at the same time, I wasn't overly nervous for the race. It was just, I kind of felt like I was just more or less just taking it all in the paddock and just kind of enjoying the ride.
Whitey, what's next for Mission Impossible?
Well, we let Tom kind of figure that out. We got a lot of confidence in him, and he knows the horses a whole lot better than we do. So he said Mission came out of the race fine. He said he ate really well that next morning, which is a good sign. Said he was bouncing around the stall, took him for a walk, gave him a massage, and he's kind of back to normal, in a normal routine. Now the question is are you going to run him in the Preakness or hold him off and run him in the Belmont? And I don't know. Tom said he's going to wait, Pletcher said he's going to wait until this weekend or early next week to decide what he was going to do. And my gut feeling is we'll hold him off and run him in the Belmont, and that's what I hope they do. But it's not my call.
Well, that's funny. You're going to take the wife and the family to Belmont then?
Well, we've talked about it, but we've got my oldest has got a softball tournament that weekend in Kansas City, and I've got my 11-year-old team plays here in Grand Island tournament, and my middle one, 13, she's got a softball tournament, so it's kind of really right when softball gets going. So I don't know.
If you need us to go and represent, you know, the Tri-Cities, we're there for you, Whitey. I mean, Doug and Daddy, we'll head out there.
I may need to do that. Can you guys do the show out of New York, or are you guys?
Yes, we can.
New York?
Yes, we can. If we go to the Belmont, yes, we can.
Well, I'll remember that. I didn't know if you guys could handle New York.
And like a horse, sometimes I have a rough day the day before at 2:30. I don't look very good, but when I eat well the next morning, I really come around.
You're bouncing around the bar.
I'm bouncing around the bar, the stall, wherever I'm at.
Yeah. I bet you are.
Hey, Whitey, we'll let you get back to your day, and always appreciate you giving us some time. And whether he runs here a week from Saturday or in the next month at the Belmont, we'll be cheering him on. I know we got a big party we're going to be talking about for the Belmont anyway. So best of luck, and keep on working with the horse. We'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, thank you, guys.
Thanks, guys. Whitey Richardson joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, co-owner of Mission Impossible, finished ninth in the Derby. And again, didn't get where it wanted to be when they wanted it to be there. So we'll see what happens. You don't know if they could all run 20 and not have any interference, what would happen? It's hard to tell. And you can't run one at a time for time, because that's just not the way it works in horse racing. So glad to have Whitey join us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Don't forget, being the great baseball show that it is today, Misco Sports is the place to go to get all the gear that you need, whether it's catcher's equipment, softball, little league.
Umpires.
If Whitey needs some stuff for his kids, they got softball and baseball for the little kids. Maybe you're playing a little town team. Maybe you're playing big boy softball. Maybe you're playing big girl softball. It's all there. Gloves, bats, cleats. Whew. Catcher's equipment, umpires gear. Maybe you just need a spanking new hat. Maybe you need uniforms for your team. They've got the hats. They've got the shorts. They can get you the long pants. They can custom your shirts. We got some great ones, by the way, from Misco's for our co-ed team.
Perhaps.
Very good.
Misco's, you're one of those home run hitters in the slow pitch league, and you need to tape your wrists up real tight.
Oh, wow.
They've got the tape for you.
Wow. Wow. Really?
That's right.
Misco Sports on the bricks of the downtown Kearney Center, open 7 days a week for your shopping convenience. Steve Sipple, Lincoln Journal Star, going to join us. But before we go to break, a couple of bull or no bull responses here. Here, you read that one, because, you know, I don't want to make fun of him.
This makes me laugh. Oh, Ken chimes in and says, "No, you get that Doug gets his jollies by picking on me."
Read it so the people listening can understand what you're saying.
Knowing that Doug gets his jollies by picking on me, I will predict that Alex will make it back to Kansas City. I think he will find someone who can help him with a curveball and that low outside pitch. I, for one, am pulling for him. Thank you, Big Daddy, for not picking on me. Thank you. No problem, Irish Ken. I'll leave you alone.
Here's another one. This is a no-ball. He's a horrible fielder with no range and can't hit any better than Joe Randa. It's about time they gave up on him as a third baseman. If he's ever going to become a decent Major League Baseball player, it has to be as an outfielder. That's from Buck.
Well, sometimes it's, you know, when you step up, that's such an unbelievable season, you know, in Wichita that year, and was doing so many tremendous things. You just thought the transition was going to be so much smoother, and it never really has. You throw the injuries in there. You mentioned the stretch where he hit 348, three home runs, and the RBIs he's able to post. But those stretches have been few and far between.
Troutman's Tuesday Trivia, Steve Sipple, still to come after this.
Are you stressed out trying to find the best hotel price?
Yes.
Then try Travelocity's new top secret hotels. The easy way to get unpublished discounts of up to 45% off 3- and 4-star hotels without the hassle of bidding.
No bidding?
No bidding.
Well, knock me over.
You got it.
Oh, very funny. Ha! What's it called again?
Travelocity's top secret hotels.
Good luck keeping that a secret.
Travelocity, the best place for hotel deals. Go to Travelocity.com for details and to book your top secret hotel now.
SalonPa's Pain Relief Patch presents the Ow, My Aching Back Patch, the Just One More Time Patch. SalonPa's gives you the pain-relieving power of a pill in a patch. It's ultra-thin, ultra-flexible. And SalonPa's is the only FDA-approved over-the-counter topical pain relief patch. It goes right to the site of your pain. It's the Keeping Up with Johnny Patch and the Boy Do I Feel Better Patch. Get the power of a pill in a patch. Also try SalonPa's Arthritis Pain, available at major drugstores and local pharmacies.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney. When it comes to keeping it simple, having your auto and home insured by the same company just makes sense. At Farm Bureau Financial Services, we make it easy to combine and save. And you pay only one deductible for all covered possessions damaged in a single occurrence if you have a loss. To learn more, call Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney at 234-4922. 234-4922. Farm Bureau makes insurance simple. Call them at 234-4922. Farm Bureau Members' Choice Policy issued by Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance Company and Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through Equitrust Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Sunshine develops across the area today with an isolated chance for a shower storm late today in the afternoon with high temperatures of near 79. Winds out of the west-southwest state from 10 to 20 miles per hour. Back to a low of 40 tonight. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now, 66.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us. Coming up in just a moment, Steve Sipple, but it's getting close to lunchtime. I don't know. I had Mountain Oysters last night. Do I go right back today and have lunch?
Oh, I don't see why not. They've got great lunch specials. They got great drink specials all day, all night long. Catch all your favorite sports on TV. Plus, you know they got this little burger night going on? You know when that goes on? Every Wednesday night. You can get totally jacked, get a totally jacked burger at the Chicken Coop. Hey, why not head there? Here's the deal. Why not head there early when you're in Grand Island tomorrow, then drive over and see the Lopers play a little baseball, then head back after the game to rehash the game? That's a perfect opportunity. Head to the Chicken Coop, whether you're in Grand Island, whether you're in Kearney. They've got it.
$5. If you're going to the UNK game, you probably should go to the one in Kearney, though, right?
Well, but I was saying you go to the one in Grand Island early. They drive over, then you head back. Rehash the game in Grand Island. Duh. Or if you're in Kearney, yeah, it's a no-brainer. Whether you want the Totally Jack burger, whether you want the mushroom burger, bacon burger, they've got it all. $5 gets that for you. The Chicken Coop. Hey, they got a party room for all your gatherings. Newly remodeled basement. Seats 100 for all anniversaries, birthdays, family meetings, any kind of get-together reunion. Book it today. Call Scott or Colin at the Chicken Coop. That's in Kearney. Awesome atmosphere. Lots of TVs. There's plenty of games. There's not a bad seat in the house. The chicken coop is really where it's at.
The RMAC will be releasing their, and GPAC will be too this week, all-conference softball and baseball. UNK softball players Cassie Keck, Alyssa Larson, and Jesse Thomas named to the all-RMAC team. Thomas, a junior designated player, earned first-team honors. Keck, junior third baseman, was named to the second team. And finally, one of four seniors on this year's UNK team, Larson, was selected as a third-team outfielder. So that's what you got for softball. Baseball will be coming up a little bit later on this week, maybe even later on this afternoon. Don't forget the UNK football fundraiser tonight. Dinner and auction will be held at the Kearney Holiday Inn. Meet some current players, preview the incoming recruits. All the coaches are there. UNK Remington Award winner Jack Hyatt will be there. Social hour at 5:30, the dinner at 6:30 tonight to help raise funds for the UNK football program. And also, again, you never talk about what the so-called minor sports until something like this happens. We've been talking about it, but Sarah Wissing on the Loper women's golf team had the low round of the day yesterday at the NCAA Central Regional in Lake City, Minnesota. She sits alone in second place, four shots off the lead. If she can just play like she has the first 2 days, she will qualify for the NCAA National Tournament. On the men's side, out in Palm Desert, California, Devin Kassler, 5 over 77. That puts him in the middle of the pack. He's tied for 57th with a bunch of guys in a 120-man field. So there you go.
There you go. I was just going to say something about that Loper fundraiser. Maybe you're sitting out there and you're a Green Bay Packer fan. I know they've got a frame signed Aaron Rodgers jersey along with an A.J. Hawk jersey tonight at that Loper fundraiser. Just thought I'd throw that in there.
Cool.
Also,
any other personal shout-outs?
Yeah.
I had one yesterday, so
you know
I'm
what?
Giving you equal time.
Hey,
I had one yesterday.
You know what? My buddy in Bertrand, Doug Fernbrook, happy 60th birthday, Doug Fernbrook. Great guy. Got to see him Saturday night. A lot of fun over there. Got to go back to the small town, the Blue Moose.
Who got more gifts, Doug or you?
Way more from Doug.
For Doug. Okay. All right. Hey, we always, you know, it's a present. It's a present every time he joins us on the show. It seems like Christmas, anniversary, birthday, all in one. And that is Stephen M. Sipple joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Of course, you know, a great co-host in his own right, I hear from time to time. Sip, good morning.
Merry Christmas, you guys.
Hey, are you closer to Tom Osborne than anybody in the state? I mean, or do you have to pay for these interviews now?
I don't know. I don't know how to answer that. He tolerates me, though. How are you guys doing?
Well, we're doing okay. We didn't have the right horse on Saturday, but outside of that,
oh, you did not. Who'd you have? I did not have.
Doug had Backcock.
Come on, he was my long shot pick, and he was a long shot. He finished last. I had the winner. I just didn't have him with the right combo. Hey,
what about Daddy?
I had Icebox.
Daddy had the second place horse. Also, did not cash a ticket though.
Yeah, it's hard to judge. I didn't really follow that close. It's hard to judge on those sloppy tracks, though. Although, one tip I'll have for your sporting listeners, on those wet tracks, seriously, you look for the horses with the small hooves that can pop through that mud. I'm serious. If you have a big horse with those big hooves, they tend to glide on that stuff and they don't go good. But you look at those horses with small hooves. They, you know what I'm saying? They just, it's like pistons ripping through that stuff.
It would behoove you to look at the small hooves.
Come on. Really?
That's beautiful, Daddy. Really? Really? Yeah, really, Doug. That was good. Daddy, that was good, Daddy. I appreciate that as a rider.
All the time.
It would behoove me.
All the time. Well, those are the things when you're sitting in the press box at Haymarket Park you can think of when it's not going the Huskers' way. Steve Sipple, right. Lincoln Journal Star, online yesterday, in the Lincoln Journal Star print editions today, had a sit down with Tom Osborne recently, and the big story is that he has guaranteed Mike Anderson to be back for next baseball season. And again, you only seem to hear from the critics. You don't hear a lot of people that want to write in and stand up for Coach Anderson. You commented in the article today you were a little bit surprised at the way he's just come out and said that there will be no change. Sip, what I hear from the critics is that Tom Osborne flat out doesn't care about the baseball program and wants them to succeed, but is not ever going to, you know, view it as he does men's basketball or football. What do you say to the critics that continually say that?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't know how to answer that. I mean, I thought it might be kind of a tough decision. I really, in talking to Tom, it wasn't a tough decision. I don't even think he looked at it as a decision he had to make. There was no decision. Mike was coming back. And I'd say, Doug, is this. In our society, it seems like people are quick to pull the trigger on coaches. I mean, it's real easy to sit at our computers, and I do the same thing, and say, oh, you probably ought to fire the guy. Unless you're in that position where you got to actually be the guy to do it and, you know, affect people's lives and just pull the trigger, I don't know. I can see why it might be difficult for Tom. It's not like Mike's been an abject failure here. I mean, he does have 5 years or even six, if depending on how you want to look at it, that were pretty strong as far as his resume goes. Now, you know, he's going to have to get it turned around here probably next year. Or Tom, at that point, will have a tough decision to make, I would think, next year.
Sip, I don't know how far you press the issue with him as far as, will there be changes made within the staff after the season?
No, I asked that. I should have probably written that. Unless Mike makes them, Tom's not gonna do it. And honestly, I don't think you'll see that. I think Mike and Tom both have a high degree of confidence in Eric Newman. Now, Dave Bingham, you know, I assume it's the same way. But I don't think Mike is set to make any major staff changes.
Steve Sippel joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show to talk a little bit about his chat with Athletic Director Tom Osborne. One of the big hot-button topics at the end of last week and over the weekend is expansion, so much that that's the question to Bo Pelini, that's the question to T.O. What are you hearing, Sip? Will Nebraska be getting out of the Big 12? And if so, what kind of percentage do you put on that? Is that really going to happen?
Well, I don't know. I mean, nobody knows. You read what Tom said. I mean, he doesn't know, and it's his livelihood. He doesn't. I don't think anybody knows exactly what's going to happen, Doug. I mean, the way I guess I look at it is, we're pretty sure the Big Ten's going to expand. I mean, I think nobody would argue against that. Now, the question is, will it be 1, 3, or 5? Will they go 1 team? 3 teams or 5. If they go 5, I think I'd put a high percentage on Nebraska being a part of that. If they go 3, it goes down considerably, and that percentage drops considerably. If they go to 1, I can't see that Nebraska being in the picture at all. So that's just from the Big Ten standpoint. Now, what's the Pac-10 do if they take Colorado? What does the Big 12 do there? I don't know. There's a lot to consider here, and Tom is trying to be, I guess, kind of an active listener. You know, you don't want to sit back too much in this thing. I mean, you got to be somewhat proactive, but as he said, it's hard to be real proactive when you don't know the parameters. So everybody's kind of in a holding pattern right now.
I think that's fair enough. I think we don't want to be in the Big 3 with us, Iowa State, and Kansas State. That's for certain. Sip, when you look at things, and we argue every fall, who's the best conference in football? Who's the best conference in basketball? You know, so on and so forth. Is the Big 10 the most money-making conference, period, when you're talking
about it? Yeah, it is. If you look at their annual revenue from TV, it's $250 million. The SEC is about $230 million. And the Big 12 is 75. So yeah, the Big Ten has surpassed the SEC in the amount of annual television revenue. So the Big Ten is king in that regard. Everybody is playing catch up with the Big Ten because of the Big Ten network, which gives its schools, well, the Big Ten TV deal in as a whole, not just the network, but as a whole, gives its schools $22 million apiece, while the Big 12, that's about double what the Big 12 does. So you can see why the Big 10 has has Nebraska's attention, has Missouri's attention, has those Big East schools' attention, has Notre Dame's attention, because of that Big 10 network and their TV deal as a whole.
Well, so the next question is obvious. Why the hell isn't there a Big 12 network?
Well, it's not that. I guess it's not that simple, in part because the presidents at the last we checked weren't interested. And make no mistake, it's the presidents that are in control of the conference. It's not the ADs. It's not Dan Beebe, the commissioner. It's the presidents. And why they're not interested in that, I'm not sure, although you can bet they've studied it and determined that it wouldn't necessarily be a moneymaker. And the other thing you got to remember, Daddy, is the Big 12 operates as, these teams operate as independent contractors, and some of them will want their own, you know, TV deal or their own media, we should call them media deals now because it'll involve the internet. And they might not want, you know, the individual schools might not want to enter into a Big 12 network that encompasses everybody because it might affect what they're getting. And I guess right now I'm mainly talking about Texas. But, you know, those things have been looked at, and somebody decided that it wouldn't be a good idea.
Steve Sipple from the Lincoln Journal-Star joins us for another moment. Make sure and check out his article in the paper or online today, talking over a lot of things with Tom Osborne. We've talked a little bit about Mike Anderson staying, the possibility of expansion. The new arena vote is coming up next week, which sounds like it's going to go right down to the wire there in Lincoln. And I guess one other thing that I saw that you mentioned to him, and it seems like T.O. never gets what he wants. He didn't necessarily want the Big 12. He didn't want a championship game. He didn't get Turner Gill to complete a two-point conversion pass. So, will he get a rotation to the Big 12 championship game?
I don't know how the presidents will vote on that. That's presidents and chancellors, again, that you're talking about. And if you gauge it from what the ADs want, it'll probably stay in at Cowboys Stadium on a basically a permanent basis. Now, I mean, what Tom told me is that the ADs voted in March, and they voted 11-1 to give Cowboys Stadium a three-year contract on top of this year's game. So, you know, the games in Arlington, the Big 12 title games in Arlington this year, and then what they'll vote on is if they should give Cowboys Stadium a three-year deal or continue to rotate it. I don't know what they'll do. I just know that Dan Beebe sounds very inclined to me towards keeping that game in Dallas. And the ADs voted 11-1 with you know who dissenting. I don't know. Tom might be fighting a losing battle on that.
Steve, will the arena pass next week?
I'm sorry, Doug or Daddy.
Will the arena pass in Lincoln next week?
I think it will pass. I do. I think it will, based on things I'm hearing and what I think. Doug, you're right on. I think it could be close. But I do think it'll pass.
Steve Sipple, can we expect another article tomorrow with more things that you delved in with Athletic Director Osborne, or is this so much in 2 days that we're going to take a break now?
He'll probably take a couple months off for me. Now, we'll see. If he's smart, he will. We'll see though. There's other things we need to talk about. So I'm cooking things up in my head right now.
All right, buddy. We always appreciate the time here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And, hey, good luck with that moonlighting job you have in Omaha every once in a while.
Well, yeah, we'll do it in Kearney one of these days if you ever call me. But we'll see on that. It's good. Hey, but it is good to talk to you guys in all seriousness.
Take care, Sip. Always appreciate it.
All right. God bless you.
From the Lincoln Journal-Star, Steve Sipple joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We're not done yet, folks. We're not done because we've got Troutman's Tuesday Trivia still to come after our final break. We've been jam-packed today with Bob Davis of the Royals Network, and Steve Sipple, Lincoln Journal star, Whitey Richardson, co-owner of Mission Impossible, joining us from Grand Island. Tomorrow, athletic director at UNK, John McBride, going to join us. Softball coach at Hastings College, Troy Baker, their host of the GPAC this week. A lot more as the week progresses.
You were doing a little Bon Jovi. Wait a minute. We're not done. One more time now. See, I thought you were being Bon Jovi there.
Do you have any idea what song that's from?
Yeah, it's Living on a Prayer or something. I don't know.
I'm not positive. I think it's Bad Medicine.
It is Bad Medicine.
Is it? You sure?
Yeah, a little John Bon Jovi. I thought that's what you were doing there.
Coming up next, Daddy throws Troutman's Tuesday Trivia at you. A chance to win a $25 gift card to Troutman's Quality Meats. If you've not won the last 2 months, you're eligible. We'll give you the question when we come back.
Hi, it's Colin Cowherd. One of my favorite days of the year. Mother's Day is approaching. Ah, Mom. Your son's thinking of you. He's always thinking of you. Well, mostly. But certainly this Sunday, one dozen assorted roses for Mom and a free glass vase, only $19.99 on Mother's Day. That's roses for under $20. Double the roses and free chocolate truffles for just $10 more. You get a 7-day freshness guarantee, meaning you have nothing to lose by trying Pro Flowers today. Supplies are limited for Mother's Day. Time's running out. Order today. Here's what I want you to do for your fantastic $19.99 assorted roses for Mother's Day. Call 800-PRO-FLOWERS and mention Colin. Or better yet, go to proflowers.com, click on the radio mic, upper right-hand corner, enter the password Colin. Proflowers.com, click on the mic, type in Colin. Mothers are special. Make them know you're thinking about them. This is your last chance to take care of Mom. Order now, proflowers.com.
Now that the weather is beginning to cooperate, the fun is just getting started at the Courtyard at Cunningham's Journal. As all your favorite teams are keeping their eye on the ball, you'll be looking out for all the early happy hour specials from 3 to 6. Live music and entertainment on the weekends add to the excitement. And when the action heats up, the Courtyard at Cunningham's Journal has the coldest beer in town. The Courtyard at Cunningham's Journal, your uptown night spot in downtown K-Town.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
Your home for the College World Series is right here.
Into the right field corner. Plate, he's driven in four runs tonight, and he is safe as he slides across, beating the throw. It's 4-1, second for one, on to first, and that's it! The finals have gone to the Dogs!
This is Kevin Kugler. Join me and for the entire College World Series from Omaha on ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 AM, where champions are crowned.
Sunshine develops across the area today with an isolated chance for a shower storm late today in the afternoon with high temperatures of near 79. Winds out of the west-southwest state from 10 to 20 miles per hour. Back to a low of 40 tonight. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now, 66.
Now back, Doug and Daddy Show, Southern Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us. We're wrapping up. Look, Tuesday edition for you.
You guys are right. Bad medicine is Bon Jovi. I thought it was poison. I'm an idiot.
No, John just called in and said, what were you thinking, Derek?
Yeah, I don't know.
John Bon Jovi. I don't know much about music. I prove that daily here behind the scenes. But one thing we do know, where the top and the best quality meat is in all of the land is Troutman's Quality Meats. T-Bone's waiting for you out front, folks. 1-888-455-3776. Like we do every Tuesday, it is Tuesday Troutman's Trivia. Hey, I tell you what, the Green Mountain Grill's waiting for you. The best bacon's waiting for you, too. I'm telling you, you will not buy your bacon anywhere else once you have Troutman's bacon. Derek, we go to the phone line. Who do we have here?
Well, let's go to the phones here first.
Oh.
Remember, we got a bit of a new phone system over
here. Yes, we do. Well, we've reverted back to a bit of an old phone system. But who do we have here?
Exactly.
We got somebody here?
Hello?
Yeah.
Who's this?
Yep. Tim Schulte.
Hey, Tim. How are you today?
Not too bad. What's going on?
Oh, not too much. Let's try this question coming at you. We talked a lot about Alex Gordon today on the Doug and Daddy Show. He was the number 2 overall draft pick in the 08 draft. Who was the number 1 overall draft pick that year?
With Alex Gordon. A pitcher, I don't know who, though.
Was not a pitcher. Thanks for the phone call. I'd try again. 1-888.
He's got a brother in the league, too, right?
Yes, he does.
I think we can throw that hit out.
1-888-455-3776.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Who are we chatting with?
Scott.
Scott, who was picked ahead of Alex Gordon in the 05 draft?
Was it Evan Longoria?
No, it was not Evan Longoria, but thanks. This is a tough one, but it's what Daddy wanted to go with. So, you know, and he's got a brother in the major leagues. So who was, for Troutman's Tuesday Trivia, the first pick in the 05 draft? Let's go back to the phone line.
They didn't know.
They didn't know either. You might have to come up with a backup, Daddy. You might have to find a backup question. Let's go back to the phone lines. Who are we chatting with?
Terry from Kearney.
Terry, do you know who was picked ahead of Alex Gordon in the 05 draft?
Yeah. Tim Beckham.
No.
No. No, that's not correct. That is incorrect. In fact, I'll throw out another hint. He was a high school player when he was drafted number one overall. He's got a brother in the league.
Great player now.
Yeah, he's an all-star.
Yes.
He has been to the all-star game. Back to the phone lines. Who are we chatting with?
Okay, I feel pretty good that it might be an Upton. Is it one of the Upton brothers?
do we make him choose the right one?
Do you know the name of the other one,
yeah,
there?
Yeah, BJ. I'll say BJ.
Okay, if we said it's not BJ, would you know the name of the other brother?
oh, God, I should know it.
Oh, that's got to be a killer. Derek says, see ya. Dang it. Dang it. Dang it. Oh, I mean, you can't, he didn't.
No.
No, that was, God,
picked,
that was.
He picked the wrong one.
Are we such tools for not letting him win? On Jeopardy, if you said no, Johnson, they'd say, which one, you know? So. This ought to give it to the next caller or two, since you know it's an Upton. Do you know which Upton was drafted ahead of Alex Gordon?
His name, Kyle.
No, that's incorrect. 888-455-ESPN. Now they're just going to start guessing first names. 888-455-3776. Let's go back to the phone lines. Do you know the man that was drafted ahead of Alex Gordon? What's your guess?
It's Justin.
There we go. Who are we chatting with?
This is Mike.
Mike, hey, congratulations. We got a $25 gift card coming your way from Troutman's Quality Meats, Justin Upton. Hold on the line, and Derek will get the information from you. Justin Upton, now member of the Arizona Diamondbacks. Holy cow. When are we going to expand this show? We can't jam it in 2 hours, but we're going to need it. We're going to need it. And this isn't even football season.
No.
What the hell's going on around here? Sarah Wissing on the course. We will update you when she finishes today on what she shot to see if she can qualify. Only two gals have ever qualified from UNK. Carla Dobchek and Jenny Dinas, who is right out of Centura High School, have made it to the Nationals. Devin Kassler's got a lot of work to do to try and make it on the men's side. Respectable 77, but on the men's side, if you don't shoot under par all 3 days, you're just not going to have much of a chance. In the WNBA, Kelsey Griffin, Corey Montgomery, they play all their exhibition games in the morning. Their first exhibition game today was for Griffin, tomorrow for Montgomery. Also, a couple other things, district soccer. Kearney High advances on with their win yesterday. Kearney Catholic, both teams were eliminated. Grand Island boys were eliminated. The Kearney girls play this afternoon in Lincoln. That gets underway at 3 o'clock against Bellevue East. Grand Island girls playing Norfolk at Omaha Westside tonight at 7. Also going on, that B6 boys, it is Gehring and Lexington, and Scottsbluff plays Holdridge today out in Scottsbluff for the girls. It works out so Lexington only has to travel to Holdridge for them to play. The B5 is at York on the boys' side. Central Catholic and York play at 4, Northwest and Hastings at 6 on the girls' side. It will be Hastings and York at 4, Northwest and Seward will be playing at 6 o'clock. There you go.
I'm spent.
Cornhusker State Games torch run started yesterday. Craig Brester handed off to Jordan Hooper out of the Nebraska-Wyoming border, and they're making their trek across the state of Nebraska today. Don't forget, big day tomorrow on the program as we get ready for the RMAC baseball tournament. We'll be talking with Athletic Director John McBride from the University of Nebraska at Kearney. Don't forget the football fundraiser tonight, folks. If you get a chance, head on out there. The game tomorrow is at 7 o'clock. We're also going to talk on the Hastings side of things with softball coach Troy Baker. They are among our guests. We want to thank Bob Davis from the Royals Radio Network for joining us on the show today. Steve Sipple from the Lincoln Journal Star. They both talked a variety of subjects. And Whitey Richardson, co-owner of Michigan Possible, who finished ninth in the Kentucky Derby. Our Grand Island Credit will be with us again as they get ready to race in the next month.
Hey, I want to thank you for also joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We'll see you 23 hours from now on 1460 in Kearney, 1550 on your AM dial, our friends in Hastings. We'll see you then.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.